Blog Talk Radio.
Philadelphia and Eagles fans everywhere. It is Tuesday night, November 5th, 2019. Hello from sunny Tampa, Florida. Also still sticky and hot Tampa, Florida. When will this weather break and go away? The rest of you are putting on coats. You're looking forward to some bad weather. The prospect of winter is right around the corner, but not down here. So hope send some our way, please. Hello, I'm Paul, founder of the Tampa Delphi Eagles fan club, and also a diehard avid Philadelphia transplant from the city of Philadelphia. Heading up Tampa Delphi, a group of avid diehards down here and transplants. We have a wonderful show for you tonight. The purpose of our show is to help you think, maybe see things in a new way. We all watch the games, we all listen to the games, we talk about the games, we feel things about the games, but are we right? Have we looked at everything? Because until you know both sides of the story, you really don't know everything. So, being around guys that know the game, being around people that understand the sport, the strategy and the direction is what helps make us better fans. So we can go deeper into the second and third levels of what's going on with the team, what's ahead, maybe what they need. And as you do your research and your evaluations, give us a call. Let us know. We'd like to hear it. Forgive my squeaky chair, but it's what keeps me awake. 657-383-1614 is our call-in number. Again, 657-383-1614. How are you feeling today? Should be feeling pretty good. Eagles chomped out another win, right? Wasn't pretty, but they got it. And we hung in against the Chicago Bears team that didn't know what to do in the first half of the game, but came back because we let them. Once again, that Philadelphia trademark of not being able to close out, finish, or put your opponent away, whatever way you want to say it. Once again, that trademark of our team seems to have come back up to the surface again, where we let the other guys off the hook and we don't really walk out with a win until the final 10th drive. So here we are, another Eagles win. We're 5-4 on the season. We're looking pretty good. We've got a little head of steam, a little bit of momentum after those two losses that we had previously to you-know-who, and the other team was in purple. That ought to narrow it down for you a little bit, and you should feel good about this game. There were some things that we found out. Some things were exposed, though. And having the benefit of any Philadelphia input from any Philadelphia radio stations, you may know more about what they're talking about on air in the media up there or elsewhere if you're one of those guys that sits down and really dives into every article that he can. If you've got your spiders and robots working, your search vehicles and engines working where you can pull up each and every Eagles article, that's all well and fine, but the reality is you spend an awful lot of time reading the same thing over and over, and is it right? That's the thing. Everything is an opinion. The only thing that matters really are the actual stats from the game, and that's where you want to draw some trends, not conclusions, but some trends. some possible directions for what this team is doing and where they're going to go. That said, we had a win, but we also had some subtraction. We lost DeSean Jackson for the year. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if this abdominal thing is a career ender, but it's certainly going to finish off his season. He's going to have surgery on Tuesday. And we wish you well. If you hear us, DeSean, if these words reach you, know that we're behind you down here. And some of the media are openly questioning whether it was a good move to get DeSean Jackson or maybe just make him the centerpiece of our wide receivers core. He's 32 years old, as fast as he is. The Eagles seem to have an affinity for keeping old guys. Now, this is in no way, or shape, or form a statement about DeSean Jackson. He just happens to be in that 30-ish group. But that's going to be one of the big questions for the show today, which is going to be a short one. We are up against another commitment, and I'm going to be out of here at 8 o'clock. So if you're going to call to make a point, do it fast. We seem to hold on to guys that keep getting hurt. Jason Peters and Darren Sproles. And we've also got DeSean in that section. We may be going back to Mr. Matthews to get a wide receiver because Doug Peterson saw what we saw. Our wide receivers, what is going on with Mr. Jeffrey? Mr. Jeffrey, Mr. Reliable, Mr. Money in the Bank, throw it to Jeffrey. Come on, Alshon, where's the hands? What's going on with you? Are you getting Nelson Aguilar yips? Huh? Are you getting his yips? My gosh, both those guys seem to be inconsistent sometimes on some things. And I know that's got to be driving the coach crazy as well as the fans because they see the same things we do. But taking a look at that, Nelson Aguilar has had 32 receptions. He was targeted 54 times. He's only got 282 yards, and his yards per reception is 8.8. Now, we take a look at Mr. Jeffrey. Mr. Jeffrey is 34 for 55. These guys almost basically have the same stats, but his yardage is a little bit better. You know, he's at 10.4 on his catches instead of 8.8. And Aguilar has a longer reception for his longest grab. It's 43 yards, but Jeffrey's right behind him with 38. So the catching percentage for Aguilar is 59.3, and the catching percentage for Alshon Jeffrey is 61.8. My point is, did you think it would be that close? Did you think it would be that close? Now, in 2017, man, these guys were spectacular. And now they're slipping away. What's going on, fellas? What's up? Well, all this translates to the fact that we need a wide receiver. Where are we going to get one? Is one out there? We've got Hollins. We've got rookie C.C. Ortega-Whiteside. We do have one. Zach Ertz came back to life. That's the good thing. The bad thing, we lost DeSean. Dallas Goedert stepped up. He did okay. But I'll tell you, there's another good guy wearing a white hat or a green hat that has come to light. Mr. Miles Sanders. Man, oh man. Miles Sanders, what you say? You have got some very serious performance going on. You absolutely do. Mr. Miles Sanders, if you stop and look at it, he is getting into the NFL record books, and he's doing it with style. He's one of a few wide receivers, pardon me, to have over 300 yards receiving, rushing. I'll get the other one. Don't tell me. But there's only a few other guys. He's in the company of O.J. Simpson, Gale Sayers. Huh? Miles is making a statement, and he's a rook. I love it. And Mr. Howard cannot be stopped. He's already dropping hints that he'd like to stay with the team, and I think the team would be stupid to let this one get away. He's young and he's healthy. So I think we need to probably do a little something with that. Which rolls back to our are guys, you know, that are probably up there. When you take a look at some of our injuries and, you know, Nigel Bradham, he came back in. Brandon Brooks played. Deshaun stayed out. Jernigan was in, which was good. Avanti Maddox was good. It was nice to see him come back in, but Peters stayed out. Sanders was back in. Andrew Santello had an abdomen situation. They cut him. I don't know if you heard that today, but he's gone. He's no longer with the team. Darren Sproles, still with the team, but he's injured and unlikely to come back. Corey Clement, I don't know. We'll see. Malik Jackson, hopefully he comes back. Cravon LeBlanc, hopefully he comes back. And Jordan Mailata, I don't know, man. I don't know if Jordan's going to make it, if it's going to work out. I'm just not that close to the team. I don't go to practices. I don't watch them work out. And the other guys, Joe Osterman and Hassan Ridgeway, are so far back in the pack that if they get healthy and come back, you may not notice. But we've got some serious trimming to do on the tree, and realize that this team has been chopped back twice already since Super Bowl. This will be the third cut. And we're going to lose some of the Super Bowl stars once again. So we better have something good to bring in. But I'll tell you what, I want to mention this before we get too far in, because we're almost halfway through the show. The critical thought this week is this: who's deciding to keep these guys? Stop. Think about that. Who's keeping these guys? Is Doug Peterson enamored with older players because they're easier to manage, A, or B, because they instinctively pick up his offense and they don't require that much maintenance, follow-up, coaching, or babysitting? Or C, does he like them because they know it's the end of their time and they'll do whatever the coach says the way he wants it? It's not only are they manageable, they're coachable. It's a good question. Maybe Doug's keeping them. Maybe Mr. General Manager Howie Roseman is keeping them. I don't know. Maybe they share multiple. Maybe there's a third factor in here. Sometimes, you know, the agent, players for a certain age and stick with the team a little bit longer. But let's turn back the clock 12 months. Some of these guys were having problems last year. So not only did they return, or they were likely to return, come back healthy again, but they got re-injured and now they're out again. Who's calling that shot? Who's calling that shot? And what doctors are not, how come they're not saying be careful here and warning us out? I don't know. There's more to this than you might think. Doug Peterson doesn't tell you everything. Doug won't lie, but he won't tell you everything either. He's a typical coach. Keep it positive. Keep it short. Deflect, deflect, deflect. If they ask me about a running back, I deflect, 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 and I turn it into an offensive backfield quarterback question. That's what he does. So we're halfway through the show just about, folks. 657-383-1614. I'm going to talk to you about Tampadelphia. And Tampadelphia is going through some changes, it seems. I'm not sure about our number two, Tampadelphia 2 location, which is the Jazz House on Adamo Drive here in Tampa, Florida. They were doing some serious soul searching. They weren't a daytime operation. They weren't a restaurant. They had to come in and open up. They had to bring in people. They had to fire up the lights, turn on the TVs, turn on the AC. And they were losing money before the first person even walked in. They are not a bar. They are not a sports bar. They are a nightclub, which means that they're open for dinner or supper. Actually, dinner was your lunch meal and supper was your evening meal in the Army. But you didn't need to know that. So they were open for supper and drinks afterwards into the wee hours. So they were a dark to light operation instead of a light to dark operation. Makes sense? It's about the daylight. They are pondering their participation with Tampa Delphia, not because we're, you know, we've done anything, but because it's expensive for them to do what they're doing. So they may want to take a break from this. In the meantime, though, folks have heard, I guess, Jungle Drums smoke signals have come out, and I've been contacted about take a look at our place. If you've got a group, we'd love to have you. We could use more people on a Sunday for 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. You know, come in and talk to me. Here's my name. Here's my number. And that's interesting. It amazes me how they found that stuff out. I didn't leak it, that's for sure. And I don't tell people my plans. So the mug, the Clearwater Operation Mugs is still going strong. We were super packed on Sunday. God, what a crowd. Great, great bunch. We had a wonderful giveaway. The food is exceptionally good. The drinks are wonderful. We have a stage. We have microphones. We have TVs all around. We have an exclusive room just for Tampa Delphia. Eagles fans only. 6,000 square feet. Every table, every chair, every TV is Philadelphia Eagles. And there's other improvements that we're bringing in as the season goes along. We have plenty of space, plenty of parking. We have plenty of chairs. We have also overflow bars. If the room gets filled up, we have a very large room with not only a big bar, but also tables, chairs, booths, TVs. And then we have a third bar, which is an inside bar, but the doors are open, so it gets outside air, leads to the outside deck and the porch that wraps around the building. TVs in there, too, and Eagles fans in there, too. It just depends on the weather that you like. All family-friendly. Mom, dad, sis, bring them. No drunks, no brawls, no bottle throwing, no F-bombs, no grade school performances, you know, no tough guy routine. Some of us outgrew that for real back in 1969-70 when there were other things that gave us that opportunity. So we're mellowed. We're focused on a good game day. We're focused on enjoying this day of our week and this period of our life. So we want to share it with family and friends. Good food, good drink, good venue, and we want to relax and be on the better side of life. You've earned it. I think you've earned it and deserve it. If you've been to Tampa Delphia, my name's Paul. I head it up, and you'll often hear me give that little speech about we've earned it and deserve it because, you know, we do. And that's why I do it. And we had a wonderful, wonderful giveaway. We had some fantastic prizes that we gave away this weekend. They don't cost you a dime. Keep your dollars in your pocket. You don't have to buy raffle tickets. You don't have to turn over your hard-earned money. You come and you get a raffle ticket. It's not a raffle ticket. I apologize. It's a giveaway ticket. You come and get your drawing ticket for free. Yeah. So you win. And the prizes are not cheap. They are, you know, it's about $150 to $200 every week worth of good raffle prizes. So just want to let you know that when you come to Mugs or you come to Tampa Delphia 2, whether it's the Jazz House again, if given a change of heart, or if it is a new location for Tampa Delphia 2, you'll have fun. The focus is on you. It's all about us. So it's not about one person in the front of the room or one person who can't shut up with a microphone. You don't hear much from me. I banter all during the game with a whole bunch of different people, but we're friends, and that's what friends do. So, Mugs, go out Almerton Road in Clearwater. When you get to 58th Street, make a turn, come in, and immediately out your side window will be a little tiny street called the Arcade Shops, and Mugs is right there. Park the car anywhere. Come in, walk in the doors, go to the left. That's us. And, of course, we have a bye week this week. So we're okay. We've got a week off. And just as well, the holidays are coming. We might as well get all the shopping out of our system. And after that, we have a 4 o'clock game, and then we have an 8 o'clock game. Then we go to Miami to play the Dolphins, and I still have some tickets for sale if you're interested. I've put them up on Facebook on Tampa Delphia Eagles. You can find out the seats, the sections. You can find out the prices. And I'm also running a bus down to Miami, round trip, for $40 per person. Pretty cheap. And if you want to partake of all that, drop me a line. It's paul@tampadelphia.com. All right, back to what's important, the Philadelphia Eagles. Zach Ertz showed real well, and the Philadelphia Eagles did pretty good. It was a tougher win than you think. They escaped, actually. They were dominating both sides of the line of scrimmage for a long part of the game, but then they let the Bears back in the game and made it a little bit tougher than it had to be. But it's a win. They're back over 500. And like I said, it's 2 weeks in a row now after Minnesota and Dallas. And Doug Peterson must have heard the show about me ripping his game plan or lack of, because that certainly has – he's raised that up. And that's it's really good to see that. Carson Wentz wasn't Mr. All-Pro, but he's doing everything solid. He realized that it's not Wentz now. It's the receivers that are a little bit shaky, right? His offensive line is still a little bit shaky. He's playing with threes in there. I mean, Dillard, his rookie left tackle, is an absolute rookie, and he played against one of the absolute best defensive linemen in the NFC. Mr. Mack, and he did not have any sacks, and Mack had an understated game for Mr. Mack, so good job, Mr. Dillard, but the Eagles are dawdling. It shows that they don't have enough preparation in the game yet. They need to do a little bit more with their research about the opponent and also the best choices for those situations where the game that, you know, they start to give up the long ball or the back runs through the line for a quick 15, 20, 25 yard burst. So we have to work on that. But again, the defensive backs, we still have 9 on the roster. Our defensive backs are coming back bit by bit, and we'll see that tighten up, I'm sure. Miles Sanders, can't say enough about him. He's more decisive. He's more confident. He's hitting the hole hard. He's picking up the first downs. He's doing fantastic, and the kid just keeps getting better and better. Carson Wentz had a respectable game, too, before I change the subject entirely. 1 touchdown, no interceptions. His passes and his completions, okay. He's still center, middle of the league, somewhere around between 15, 22, somewhere around there. But he only had Ertz, really, to throw to, and Ertz came up big. He finished Ertz. Wentz was 9 for 103. I think that's Ertz. Ertz had 9 catches for 103 yards, and he had a 25-yard TD, which is as long as TD in 5 years. So Ertz is basically he's kind of a one-man show out there. And losing DeSean Jackson is hurting. We've got to get somebody, but it's clear the Eagles miscalculated when they made Jackson the centerpiece of their passing game. It was a great idea in theory, but that abdomen. All right. So Alshon Jeffrey is on my mind because I'm not quite sure if he can raise his game, and I don't know why he can't. The guy's as reliable as the sunrise, you know? So I'm very, very surprised to see that he's having issues like that. Taking a look at defense for just a moment, let's swing over to here and just see what's going on with our defense. Oh, bear with me. Oops, wrong button. Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, this year's tandem, running back tandem. Hopefully they'll stick a little bit better. For defense, the guys with the most combined tackles still stays Rodney McLeod. Malcolm Jenkins with 39, McLeod with 48, and then Brandon Graham with 33. Brandon Graham is a defensive end. Then behind him is Nathan Jerry, the linebacker. He's got 33. He's tied with Brandon Graham for tackles. And of course, these aren't solo tackles, but they're doing pretty well. And Brandon Graham's got 11 hits on the quarterback. He is in second place, only to Derek Barnett. Interestin Dejo showed fairly well for his safety, but he's 32 years old. Malcolm Jenkins is 32. Brandon Graham is 31. And Nigel Bradham is 30. A lot of our good producers are up there. Vinny Curry is 31 years old, but he doesn't seem to be doing much of anything unless his whole thing is to occupy men in space. If that's it, and to play an invisible cellophane type of game where things happen because Vinnie Curry's out there doing this job, then that's wonderful. But if Vinnie Curry's job is to perform and cause mayhem and destruction, then like the other guys on the line, then Vinnie Curry is kind of falling behind a little bit. We're really weak on interceptions. We're not that spectacular on fumble recoveries either. So our turnovers are way down. And, of course, our numbers are out of whack. Our plus-minus is out of whack. But for the most part, our top scorer still remains Jake Elliott, 56 points. And Jordan Howard has moved up to number 2 in scoring. He scored 42 points, and then Jeffrey with 24. And after that, it's obviously less. But let's hear what you want to say. 657-383-1614 before I make some final points and take the show out of here, because we've got about 2.5 minutes left. We've got some sponsors in Tampa, Delphia, some potential sponsors, guys with their own business, and we're going to start bringing them in bit by bit. I've been talking about Cortland's anti-pesto service for pest control. Inspections, evaluations, full services. He's got money off specials. Philly guy, transplanted, great guy. New to the area, and if I would recommend contacting him if you're interested in a pretty good deal, a pretty good package for your house or your business. And we've got other folks in our room at Tampa Delphia. We have a lot of self-employed people or people that are high up the ladder. And that's always refreshing because they're able to provide some benefits and some breaks for Tampa Delphians. So that said, Tampa Delphia, which is located at Muggs in Clearwater and maybe soon to be announced a new location for Tampa Delphia too. But otherwise, the Jazz House is where we've been out there in the Brandon area. I've got to close out the show early this week, and I apologize for that, but it's necessary. There's been a lot of things happening over here on this end. I'll probably be picking up a third and fourth show to produce, which will be coming up fairly soon, and maybe around or after the holidays. I've been invited to do other things for, in the public sector with Hillsborough County and also in the private sector with some healthcare providers. And that, of course, is biting into my schedule, which just keeps piling on. It's supposed to slow down. But, man, I'll tell you, I don't sit on the couch watching anything because I don't have the time. I'm always out doing something or scooting around. No complaints, but it is what it is. But I would like the chance to just rest up. My back still hurts from that accident, that rear ender that I had about a week and a half ago. So we're Tampa Delphia. We're taking a look at the Philadelphia Eagles. We've got a week off. Let's heal. Let's get better. And let's come back. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Tampa Delphia Eagles fans, thanks for tuning in. This is Paul saying good night.